Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. This is the Thursday, March 5th edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Glad to join you again, obviously filling in once again for Mark King, who is out on vacation. But glad to join you in today's episode. We're going to discuss a historic win for the Grizzlies last night. It seems like here recently, you know, ever since we've turned the calendar to 2020, historic is a word that we're using quite often to describe the Grizzlies, but last night truly was a historic night for the Grizzlies. We'll get into that in the first segment. Second segment, we're going to talk about Taylor Jenkins and how he has done a wonderful job of managing his roster, really utilizing the depth that he has in order to keep people fresh, productive, and help them develop. We're going to talk about how that's been an important development for the Grizzlies and how it will need to remain important. And then obviously, the third segment, we're going to discuss Tyus Jones. You know, we'll dabble to him a little bit in the second segment, but really going to talk about how his play over the past few months has truly allowed the Grizzlies to have one of the best 1-2 combinations at point guard in the NBA. But let's focus on the victory against the Nets last night. The Grizzlies are able to earn 118-79 victory. The reason why it was historic, so the Grizzlies now have two straight games in which they have beat their opponents by 39 points. Now, that obviously is a first time in Grizzlies history. You know, there's a good chance that that's happened. You know, you could probably count on one hand the number of times that has happened in NBA history, but just an all-around wonderful performance. You know, a couple big things that really stand out to me. Number one, this is the second straight time that the second straight game in which the Grizzlies have beat their opponents by 39 points, yet no starter or no player scored more than 20 points. Tonight, while the starters did play well, it was again the bench that contributed. You know, we set the second highest mark in team history for bench points against the Hawks. Well, last night against the Nets, it was again the bench. Tyus Jones, Josh Jackson. For instance, Tyus Jones, he set a personal best with 5 threes in a game. That's a career high for him. Josh Jackson tied his career high for threes from the game against the Hawks. So you've got your bench players for the Grizzlies playing to a level that they had not played before because they're getting significant time on the court. And it's really starting to show. This bench for the Grizzlies continues to be one of the best in the NBA, and it obviously allows for them to be able to minimize the negative impact of losing talents like Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. But, you know, on offense, the Grizzlies were very efficient. In fact, this is the first time in Grizzlies franchise history in which the Grizzlies have scored more than 100 points while holding their opponents to less than 88 points in 3 straight games. You know, just a fantastic turn of events for the Grizzlies. They not only are winning, they're doing it in convincing fashion, and they're playing at a level. They are taking care of business against teams that they should. And again, these wins, as they start to pile up, they're going to allow for the Grizzlies to build a cushion as the schedule continues to get more difficult into March to allow for them to be able to earn, you know, what they obviously to be able to earn the playoff spot they're playing for. The Grizzlies themselves also really focused, you know, on beyond the arc, really focused on making sure that they were at the advantage there. I mentioned in my game preview over at Grizzly Bear Blues, you know, the Nets shot a lot of threes. They were 5th in the NBA in 3-point attempts, 9th in made threes. But the thing about it was that they were 25th in 3-point percentage. So their scoring from three obviously was more about quantity than quality. And last night, that certainly showed. The Grizzlies held the Nets to 7 made threes on 42 attempts. That's correct. 7 made threes on only 42 attempts. That is just the fourth time in NBA history that a team had held its opponent to 7 or less threes on 42 or more attempts. Just an incredible defensive performance by the Grizzlies. Furthermore, when it came to the Grizzlies' shooting performance, they themselves made 23s in a game. That was just the third time in their franchise history that the Grizzlies were able to make 20 or more threes. So both on the offensive and defensive end, the Grizzlies' performance beyond the arc was historic, you know, from a team and an NBA perspective. So just a historic night. I know I keep throwing around that word, but just an incredible night of production and truly a historic night overall, you know, for the Grizzlies. Obviously now the Grizzlies have earned, you know, three straight victories. That's going to come in handy as the schedule, you know, starts to get tougher. That starts on Friday night against the Mavericks. But in the game last night, another big thing that really stood out to me was that the Grizzlies started off the game, you know, and it was a close game. They weren't playing bad or anything like that. It was just a back-and-forth game. But, you know, we talked about in the first game that they played against the Nets, Ja Morant's ability to take over a game. Ja Morant's ability to really take a hold of it. And he was the difference in the reason why the Nets won that game. But now you see this Grizzlies team over the past three games, you've seen the transformation occur. This team is so locked in. They are so in cohesion. They have gelled to the point to where now the team itself can take a hold of a game and really extend the lead and put it, you know, put the game, you know, into a no-doubt situation for themselves, it seems like, for the first time in a while. You know, when we started off the season, you know, going into halftime with a, you know, 13-15 point lead, for the first 6 weeks, it seemed like that our offense in the first half would just be phenomenal, and then the second half, we would play like a pure lottery team. Well, now you don't get that. You know, now, starting in December, when the Grizzlies, you know, overnight turned it from one of the worst third quarter teams into the best in the NBA, they have maintained that. They're not necessarily the best third quarter team in the NBA as of right now, but they really have turned into a franchise that if they get the lead, they now know how to hold it, and that makes a huge difference. Not only does it allow for you to win games against the teams that you're supposed to win against, but now it allows for you to pull the upsets. The Grizzlies are positioned as a team that can now earn the victories that they need to in order to move ahead. Obviously, in the playoff race, it was another huge victory. The Grizzlies have maintained a 3.5-game lead. The Grizzlies now have also basically gotten to the point to where, yes, the victory, the two losses to the Kings after the All-Star break did position the Kings as an extra team that, you know, fans, you know, have to, you know, watch or things like that. That the Kings have become another team along with the Spurs and the Trailblazers and the Pelicans that have a realistic shot. But for the Grizzlies to have a 3.5-game lead still, despite the fact that they lost five straight games to begin the All-Star break, that's incredible. It hasn't wiped away the impact of losing five straight, but it really has minimize the long-term impact. And it showed that this Grizzlies team, they have the mindset of a winner now as well. They're having the ability to where, okay, yeah, we've lost, we're frustrated, let's get back on a winning streak, and that's exactly what they've done. So just a historic night for the Grizzlies, a wonderful performance, again, really stepping up to the plate and taking care of business. Hopefully this will roll on over into the weekend as we play the Mavericks and the Hawks, but as for now, and just a, you know, an incredible week of basketball, and the Grizzlies have not had this type of dominance, you know, in their franchise history, so it's truly something to be proud of, but yet you can't let that sink in too much, because obviously you got to keep it rolling, you know, in order to stay comfortably ahead in the playoff push. When we return, we will talk about the biggest reason why the Grizzlies, in my opinion, have been able to play to the level that they have been playing over the past couple of games, and that's the Grizzlies bench and the management of it by Taylor Jenkins. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. Once again, joining you this week in place of regular host Mark King. So, like we discussed in the first segment, the Grizzlies' victory against the Brooklyn Nets, again, just a historic night. Two straight wins in which the Grizzlies have beat their opponents by 39 points. And just, you know, it's an incredible performance, especially given the fact that the Grizzlies aren't being supported by a dominating scoring performance. For instance, the Nets, for instance, Caris LeVert has really stepped up for them. He had 51 points the other night, two nights ago, when the Nets beat the Boston Celtics. The Grizzlies are not getting that type of production. They're not getting someone who is just stepping up and just absolutely putting the team on his shoulders. I've talked about Ja Morant having that ability from an all-around offensive perspective, but that's the thing. The Grizzlies have gone two straight games in which they've beat their opponents by 39 points apiece, and they have not had a single player score 20 or more points. It's just an incredible team effort, especially when you consider the fact that the Grizzlies aren't sitting here and beating their opponents 150 to 110. They're holding their opponents to less than 90 points scored per game, including holding the Nets to less than 80. And it comes to the Grizzlies' bench. That's really where, you know, we talk about Ja Morant, we talk about the young core, but it seems like that the Grizzlies' bench has really turned in to their clear advantage. If you need, if you're a true contender in the NBA, it seems, you need a clear advantage, and that's where the Grizzlies' bench comes into play. Now, the Grizzlies don't have, you know, just a legendary sixth man. They don't have someone coming off the bench who is having just a career year. They have had that, and his name is Brandon Clark. And that's the first thing that I'll hit on is that, you know, while right now the Grizzlies just don't have a clear, established, you know, bench asset, someone that's made a career of coming off the bench, the evolution of their bench has been simply incredible. Obviously, coming into this year, starting off the season and continuing through, you know, his injury, Brandon Clark has been one of the most efficient players not only in the NBA, but as a rookie in NBA history, and he was the Grizzlies' main bench weapon. Along with that, you had Tyus Jones. Now, he struggled to begin the season, but as we'll find out in the third segment, Tyus Jones has really settled in to the type of player that he was before he came to Memphis, just the efficient, very steady, cool hand point guard that can make the overall game of the second unit stand out. And beyond those two, you also had Kyle Anderson, and then obviously you started having the development of several players. You know, looking in December, you know, the Grizzlies had a firm second unit for going from December to January. We had Brandon Clark, we had Tyus Jones, Kyle Anderson, and De'Anthony Melton. Well, as time moved on, that bench has evolved. You started to see Kyle Anderson start more once, Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill were traded. Obviously, a few weeks after that, when Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. were injured, you then saw De'Anthony Melton go into the starting lineup. Well, while you still have Tyus Jones, now you have players such as Gorgui Dieng, John Concher, Josh Jackson, just player after player continuing to step up. And I really think that that's a compliment to Coach Taylor Jenkins. Not only is it a next man up mentality, but Taylor Jenkins has really allowed for not only for his players to feel comfortable moving into more featured roles, but he's helped them be able to make the most of their opportunities. You could arguably say that players such as, obviously, De'Anthony Melton turned it into a long-term piece for the Grizzlies. That was a wonderful find. Kyle Anderson is playing some of the best basketball of his career. Josh Jackson's doing the same. Tyus Jones is doing the same. That's the biggest thing about this bench and Taylor Jenkins. Coming into the season, one thing that I and many others were saying were that it's not just the development of the roster. It's seeing if the Grizzlies had a coach in Taylor Jenkins who could truly add value. Yes, they've had that before, but now in a rebuilding phase, do we have a coach that can truly add value? And I think that the biggest example that shows that Taylor Jenkins is the long-term answer, he can still be there and be the coach that could, you know, that could lead us to being a title contender in the future, is the fact that he has consistently developed players as they've stepped into bigger roles. As players have stepped into bigger roles, their play has actually become better. And that is a huge compliment to Taylor Jenkins, you know, and his staff. And it's not just the eye test that is showing that this Grizzlies bench, you know, is playing at, you know, one of the highest levels in the NBA. Stats support it. For instance, on the season, the Grizzlies are 7th in the NBA in bench minutes per game. Typically, the Grizzlies average 20.3 minutes from their bench per game. The bench contributes 41.5 points per game. That's 6th in the NBA. But really, what it comes down to for the Grizzlies is how effective they are. They are first in the NBA in field goal percentage. They are first in the NBA in assists. While they're first in the NBA in steals. Now, they also are one of the they also are near the top of the league in turnovers per game, but that's expected, obviously, with how heavily they are used. But overall, those statistics show that not only is the Grizzlies' bench relied upon more than most teams in the NBA, but their effectiveness is incredible. Their effectiveness is also one of the highest in the NBA. So that's the thing that you know really needs to be maintained as an advantage. As the Grizzlies get into the tougher part of their schedule, especially here over the next 2 or 3 weeks as they play some of the better teams in the NBA, the bench for the Grizzlies remaining a strength, remaining productive, allowing for the Grizzlies to either stay close or take the lead when their starters are off the court, that's going to be essential for us to be able to lock down that eighth spot in the playoff. And once we get into the playoffs, if our likely opponent is the Lakers, I'm not saying that we're going to be able to contend with them, but I think that if the Grizzlies are going to have a chance to make the eighth seed and potentially pull off a win or two against the Lakers in the playoffs, it's going to be due to our bench. And again, that's a big compliment to Taylor Jenkins and his staff. When you look at this Grizzlies team right now, when you look at them having an identity, it's constantly evolved. We were an offensive juggernaut in January. We were a defensive, we played excellent defense in February. Well, now going in from February to March, you can honestly say that we're a complete team. We're a team that right now, down some of its best talents, are playing some of the best basketball of the year. And that really is a compliment to the roster, from top to bottom. Despite the injuries that have occurred to the Grizzlies, the fact that Taylor Jenkins can honestly say with confidence he can play 9 to 10 guys a night and can play 9 to 10 guys that will add positive value, that's just a huge boost for the team itself and for everybody individually. So definitely a kudos to Taylor Jenkins and his staff for allowing for this Grizzlies bench to remain one of the most productive in the NBA despite the constant evolution as to the options that they're able to use. Once Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. get back, and once, for instance, the Anthony Melton or Kyle Anderson are back on the bench, just think how deep that Grizzlies bench is going to be then. So if we can maintain our bench being a true advantage against other teams in the NBA, it's just going to give us that much more of an opportunity to maintain our eighth spot in the playoff run. In the final segment, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the best members of that bench, Tyus Jones, and really look at how him and Ja Morant have turned into one of the best 1-2 combinations in the NBA. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman, joining you in place of Mark King this week. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to tune in with us and just get some perspective on how this week has gone. Again, just an incredible week for the Grizzlies. So, obviously we talked in the first segment, about how historic the, past couple of games have been. We talked in the second segment as to a reason why when it comes to the Grizzlies bench. But, obviously the bench for the Grizzlies has had plenty of catalysts. It's had Brandon Clark. It's had De'Anthony Melton. It seems like that, there have been different stretches over the course of the year in which there has been one true standout, that has really stepped up. Right now, I would say that would be Josh Jackson. Just really being able to come in to the NBA and show that he belongs. He may never live up to his draft status. You can call him a bust if you want. But, to come back from where he was a year ago to now and really establish himself as a valuable part of a playoff team, is a pretty awesome story. But the real focus I feel that kind of gets lost in the shuffle a bit is the play of Tyus Jones. And basically what it is that Tyus Jones, when he came to the Grizzlies, when the Grizzlies signed him, Peter Edmonston over at the Athletic, former host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, he wrote a wonderful article really focusing on the efficiency of Tyus Jones. Just the fact that he was someone who, of himself, he may be limited on his ability to score and provide offense, but in terms of helping the team play well, his ability to set his teammates up, plus prevent turnovers from occurring, it was a pretty incredible skill. And since December 1st, you know, Tyus Jones did struggle to begin the year, but since December 1st, that really has been on display. For instance, Tyus Jones is second in the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio, first in the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio over that time frame since December 1st, you know, of this year. He right now is averaging 6.66 assists per every turnover. Now, take that stat as you want. I'm not going to get any more to that number, obviously. But the next closest player is actually Monte Morris from the Denver Nuggets. And he, who has an assist-to-turnover ratio of 5.23. So the fact that Tyus Jones is not just leading in the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio, but he actually is leading it by this much, just goes to show, it's arguably, Tyus Jones is the most efficient point guard in the NBA. But it's not just his passing in which he is having success. He also has a 57% effective field goal percentage and a 58.2 true shooting percentage. Now, Tyus Jones is not someone who's going to sit here and who's going to score 20 to 25 points a game. But his scoring averages his scoring ratings over this time, since December 1st, they're amongst the best of his career. And that's what the Memphis Grizzlies envisioned when they made the move for Tyus Jones. Obviously, in the trade that brought over C.J. Miles, Jonas Valanciunas, and DeLone Wright, there was, it arguably could be assumed that the Grizzlies' prized possession, their prized pickup in the Marc Gasol trade, was DeLone Wright. DeLone Wright ended last season on a high note. He truly showed that he could be a part of a contender going forward. Well, he now is, but it's with the Dallas Mavericks. When the Grizzlies made the trade in which they sent DeLone Wright over to the Dallas Mavericks for 2 second-round picks, and then basically signed Tyus Jones to nearly the exact same contract that the Mavericks extended DeLone Wright with, you know, a few people, you know, scratched their heads. They thought, you know, why replace, you know, an asset that, you know, you clearly already, you know, saw develop favorably in front of your eyes? Why give that up for someone who may not have as good of, you know, an opportunity to score, who may not be as big? Well, we're now seeing the reason why. And it's not just the play of Tyus Jones and the bench. The Grizzlies, the reason why they really wanted to focus on getting Tyus Jones to back up Ja Morant was because now, in all honesty, the Grizzlies have the best 1-2 passing combination at point guard in the NBA. And the reason why that was such a focus for this Grizzlies team is because they knew that when it came to their roster over the next few years, one area where they were going to struggle was shooting. So if the Grizzlies were going to struggle with shooting, and the Grizzlies were going to struggle in creating their own shot, they better find a way to be able to create their shots, to find ways to score. And of course, that's with effective passing. You now see why having the Tyus Jones-Ja Morant combination is such an asset. The Grizzlies lead the NBA in assists per game. Their bench leads the NBA in assists per game. And it's because of not only the passing ability of Morant and Tyus Jones, but also their efficiency. Yes, Morant can struggle at times, but the fact that the Grizzlies' point guards don't beat themselves, you know, they basically beat themselves on rare occasions. But overall, this 1-2 combination of Tyus Jones and Ja Morant, you really could see it as being the anchor of this team. Not only because of the fact that they're playing so well, but because of their good play, it elevates the overall offensive ability of the team as a whole. So Tyus Jones, becoming the player that he was before he signed with the Grizzlies and maintaining that production, that has been probably one of the more underrated reasons why the Grizzlies have truly emerged as a playoff contender. The combination between him and Ja Morant are truly allowing for the Grizzlies, you know, like I had mentioned in the second segment, the Grizzlies bench has become a clear advantage. Well, the Grizzlies point guard play has become a clear advantage as well. Yes, it can be at a disadvantage on defense at times, but the fact that that combination of Jones and Morant, they can still create turnovers, and the efficiency level that they're able to lead on the Grizzlies' offense, it really does make up the difference in the end. And just like featuring the bench will be an advantage going forward, it's going to be essential for Tyus Jones and Ja Morant to continue being one of the best 1-2 combinations in the NBA, if not the best at point guard, for the Grizzlies to get where they want to go. Obviously, I'll just say this, it's a lot more fun to talk about the Grizzlies in this fashion than it was the last time that I hosted. I hope that it continues. The Grizzlies are playing excellent basketball. Yes, it needs to be kept in context, as we'll find out in tomorrow's episode when we preview their game against the Dallas Mavericks. But overall, just a great week so far for the Grizzlies. Again, playing historic basketball, you know, in terms of the Grizzlies franchise. Hopefully, they'll keep that up through the weekend. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. I know that I mentioned that quite a bit, but just want to make sure that y'all know where to find me. You can find me on Twitter at StatsSAC. You can also find my podcast through the SBN Grizzlies Podcast Network, Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network. That's the 3&D Podcast. You can follow us at 3&D Pod. You can follow Mark at King_Producer. Also, you can follow this show, Locked On Grizzlies, at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. If you are a listener, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to enjoy us. You and yourself, please listen, subscribe, review if you'd like. You can find us anywhere podcasts are available. If you are a sponsor and you would like for your product or efforts or job, whatever it may be, to be featured on the show, please reach out to Mark via Twitter, again, at King_Producer, and I'm sure he'd be glad to talk with you. But for me, Sean Coleman, again, a pleasure talking with y'all on this Thursday edition of Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Tomorrow, we will discuss the Mavericks as well as break down a little bit more of the schedule that the Grizzlies will be facing going into the rest of March. But we will see you then. And again, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.